the Glenn Academy Red Terror Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Marside Grill, Shell and Hogan, Adrian Browning, attorney at law, Ace Hardware, Jessup Furniture, and by Southern Hardware. And now, here's your host, Bob Black.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I am Bob Black on location at Marside Grill, where we'll be each and every week on Wednesday nights at 6:30 for the entire season. This segment of the Red Terror Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Jessup Furniture, Ace Hardware, St. Simon's, Adrian Browning, attorney at law, Shell and Hogan, Southern Hardware, and by Marside Grill. And now joining us, the head coach of the Glenn Academy Red Terriers, Coach Rocky Hidalgo.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, Coach, let's go ahead and get started into it. Friday night was a tough loss for us, 37-21 to the Fort Dorchester Patriots out of Charleston, South Carolina. It was actually a tale of two halves, Coach. We played pretty good in the second half, but came out a little slow on both sides of the ball in the first half.
Yeah, we kind of stumped the joint out a little bit on the first half. You know, made a lot of mistakes. I mean, we looked like a team that was returning, you know, two starters on offense and four on defense. You know, the thing I take away from it is, one, you know, we challenged the kids to compete in the second half. Felt like we did. We really came in, made a game of it. I mean, there was a 31-21 game at one point in time, and we had a chance to score, make it 31-28, and end up with a penalty. But, you know, as a whole, those kids came out in the second half, competed. There's a lot of little things that we have to fix, but luckily it's little things. We don't have big issues we're trying to fix.
Yeah, you mentioned this at the coaches meeting that you wanted to work on us, and that's what you spent time doing this week so far in practice, working on us. Offensively, I think you got to be pleased with some of the pitches and some of the decisions you saw by your sophomore quarterback, T.J. Lewis. At one point during the game, he made a pitch, and you and I looked at each other on the sideline and said, he just pitched that between three guys.
Yeah.
Heck of a ball play.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was supposed to pitch that one or not, but yeah, you know, TJ did a lot of good things, especially first time under the lights with his first varsity start. You know, he made some mistakes, and we knew going in he was going to make some mistakes. You know, when you start 9 or 10 sophomores, they're going to go in and make some errors. You know, you kind of know that going in. And he wasn't immune to that, but I thought he also, the moment wasn't too big for him. I thought he stuck his nose in there. He kept the football, got some big gains, broke some tackles, made some tough decisions. You know, made a couple of decent throws in the game, you know, so all in all, there was a lot of good and a lot of bad out of it. But, you know, I'm pleased and excited by what potentially could go on here the next few years with him at quarterback.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. We saw a little bit of what he has the potential of doing. And on the running back side, it was kind of spread out between all your running backs. Quantavious Bostic was your leading rusher with 89 yards with 12 attempts, followed by Alan Pardon in 12 for 37. And then Nolan Grant had 9 for 52 yards. It spread it out pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I think all of them played really well, you know, as a whole. I think you'll see those numbers continue to go out as the offensive line gets better. We started three sophomores up there, and we were kind of all over the place a little bit. But those kids went in and competed again. They didn't go down and back down from the competition. So they went in and competed, did some good things. You know, we just got to get back on the field and fix those problems and get the football. We got good backs. Get the football to our running backs in space and let them make plays.
Yeah, we didn't throw the ball very much. We only had eight attempts and three completions. I think you'll probably see that. Will we see that increase as the year goes along when he gets a little more comfortable back there?
Well, you know, in this offense, we want to throw the ball. We want to throw it when we want to throw it. We don't want to throw it when somebody's forced us to throw it. You know, it's a lot of people probably look at the fact on third and long, we run a lot of option on third and long, but it's a great situation for third and long. You know, but he's a kid that can really throw the ball. He's got a good arm. He's learning how to be a passer. You know, but we want to throw the football when it's opportune for us. We want to create big plays in it. We're not a team that wants to go out and throw the ball 25 times on a Friday night. We want to go off and hand it off 50 times and throw it 8 and get 6 completions and average 40 yards of completion. That's really what we want. And, you know, I feel like we have a chance to do that with this group.
Yeah, this is the Glenn Academy's Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball. Let's talk about some of the perimeter blocking. We had some very good blocks out there a few times. Sam Wagner, number 15, your senior wide receiver. But we also had a few holding calls out there that may have been, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to talk about those.
Well, you know, I think like anything else is what I talk to the officials about is that they have to be equitable how they call the game. When we hit the field, if you're a team that is going to pitch the ball in the perimeter, perimeter blocking is really important. If you play somebody who's going to throw the ball 40 or 50 times a game, pass protection is really important for them. There's holding on every play. Somewhere there's holding, and they can call it every play. And there's no doubt about that. That's the defense that the officials use. But my argument is this. If you're going to let them hold in the middle in pass protection or hold in the middle when they run block, then you've got to let us hold on the perimeter. And when we're blocking on the perimeter, if you don't, the game's not going to be equitable. I just think it has to be called equally between the two teams. You've got to take in consideration the offenses we run. I mean, historically, in high school football, if you throw the ball, they let you hold all you want in pass protection, and you can pretty much get away with it anytime you want. And, you know, I'm on their behinds about that. So I think part of that is coaching the officials to understand equity in the game. The other thing I think is talking with the officials and getting with them and preparing them to watch the game that's played on Friday night. So I did some of that, shared some film with those guys, talked to them. You know, I think the other one is coaching our kids to don't put themselves in a position where they can get a holding call, keep your hands inside the framework, have really good feet. So there's a lot of things. And you know, it's the officials' first game of the season, too. So hopefully as they settle in, they'll let us get out there and play and mix it up on the perimeter.
Yeah, I think keeping your hands inside, as you just said, is a key out there on the perimeter for sure, because you're out there on an island where everyone can see where your hands are supposed to be. Let's switch sides now to the defensive side of the ball. Seems like, once again, a tale of two halves for the defense as well. Just couldn't get off the field in third down situations in the first half. Was it us being misaligned out of position, or was it them just making football plays?
Well, I think the biggest thing was we were playing with eight guys most of the night. It was a different eight guys. So I think when you watch the film, there were 21 plays in the game that we had a chance to win the game. And I'm serious. If we make two of those 21, we're in competition to possibly win the game. But defensively, there were 17 plays where we gave up 8 yards or more, gave up a touchdown. And most of those plays came on blown assignments for us. And so we went back and worked real good. I think what we did is we showed the film to the kids and showed them. I said, look, here's the mistakes we made. You know, we ended up with two guys in a gap, and we leave a gap open, and they get a big play out of it. We get a guy who doesn't run the slant correctly the right way. We get a linebacker that doesn't spill a blocker the right way, and we end up with two guys outside the football. But, you know, fitting on the football is really important if you're a defensive coach, and most fans don't understand what that means. And the way to simplify it is simply think of it as a gate. You've got two posts, and somebody closes the gate, a gate that closes the hole. Well, kind of that's how fitting on football is. You want to have two guys on either side of the ball and a guy who comes and tackles the ball who's on the ball. And sometimes we end up with a two post on one side and no post on the other. And so we were kind of all over with that stuff. So there's things that we can fix, but it's still mistakes, and it's not going to be fixed overnight.
All right, Coach. We're going to talk about the defense when we come back, but there's more to come on the Red Terrace Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Marshside Grill is your home for the best burgers, spuds, and seafood around. Come enjoy the view out by the water while taking in an ice-cold beverage. Marshside Grill is your home for the Glenn Academy Red Terror Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo and a proud sponsor of Glenn Academy and local high school athletics. So stop in any day or night of the week for the best view and atmosphere here in the Golden Isles. And also, check us out on Facebook. Go Terrors!
Every athlete knows that if you can't play, you can't win. Hi, I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. We treat a variety of sports and non-sports injuries with proven expertise in joint replacement, arthroscopic surgery, and physical rehabilitation. With the support of Southeast Georgia Health System, our orthopedic specialists are committed to getting you back to your life quickly.
Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org. If you need it, Southern Hardware has it. From mowers to trailers to case knives, you will find it all at Southern Hardware. Locally owned and operated since 87. Don't miss Southern Hardware's one-day sale on September the 15th. All Echo equipment will be 20% off. That's right. All Echo equipment, 20% off. Come on in and check out the Husqvarna line of chainsaws as well. Southern Hardware, 3305 U.S. Highway 82, southernhardwareinc.com, 912-267-7992.
Looking for top-quality furniture at prices that blow away the competition? Jessup Furniture Outlet. Ashley, Universal, Bassett, Lexington, and so many more. Jessup Furniture offers delivery and 12-month interest-free financing located at 651 Scranton Road next to Old Times, or give Jessup Furniture a call, 912-267-1897. Also, find Jessup Furniture on Facebook. Jessup Furniture, your top-quality furniture outlet that won't break your budget.
Welcome back to the Glen Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Hidalgo and the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Bob Black, on location from Marshside Grill. This segment brought to you by Marshside Grill, Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, and by Jessup Furniture. All right, Coach, let's stay on the defensive side. The defense, you mentioned last week that you really needed to find a couple linebackers, looking for some linebackers. Your linebackers, one of them, Johnny Bradley, number 33, led the team in tackles with five. Seemed to have a pretty good night for Johnny.
Yeah, you know, it was first night he played inside. Played really hard. Made some mistakes, and we knew he was going to do that. You know, it was his first time he did it on Friday night. But he played really hard. He was physical in there. So he did. You know, we feel like we've got the two inside linebackers with him and Tyshawn Lang, Austin Park rolling there, give us some depth and develop it. We've got three really good young sophomore linebackers we're trying to develop. So we feel good about that position in that respect. The outside linebackers, I think moving Tyshawn Wallace from safety down outside linebacker, he did some really good things. And Jamarcus Sims did some good things. He did some really good things in coverage and space. You know, as a whole, those guys have got to get more physical. We've got to get more physical on the perimeter. And we've got to start shocking people, setting the edge. But I think it's a good group of kids going to turn around here over the next few weeks, and they'll start to develop and play better.
Yeah, Tyshawn Lang still trying to get in football shape. Looked like it maybe taking a couple of plays off to rest up there a few times. And we certainly can't have that in the middle linebacker position. But you mentioned Tyshawn Wallace moved out to the Viper position on the outside linebacker. He also had five tackles on the night. Had a pretty good night.
Yeah, you know, Tyshawn's a kid. We were working him at safety. And, you know, he hadn't played it before. And he's athletic enough to do it, but it just, there's a lot of stuff that you got to do back there. So he struggles some kind of getting all the coverages and learning all the fits. But at linebacker, at Viper, when we kick him down to Viper, he can play fast. And he doesn't have to worry about giving up touchdowns over the top of him. He can just get downhill. He's a big, strong kid. And, you know, he did some good things. He had a great practice today. I was really pleased how, you know, he's showing some toughness down there. We're asking those guys to be more physical. I think we're getting that out of them. I think we're going to see a lot of improvement over the next two or three weeks at our linebacker position.
Yeah, one more guy we got to mention is, we mentioned him last week. He's ended up being the player of the game this week. Had two tackles for loss and three sacks, and that's your big defensive tackle, Marlon Taylor.
You know, I'm going to say this. He made some plays Friday night that were just super impressive. And I've coached football for 23 years, defensive coach for the majority of that. He's as good a player as I coached with his hand on the ground. That includes a guy who was an All-American and played in the NFL. All-American at Stanford, a guy who was a four-year starter in the SEC. He's a really, really good player. And he's as good a player as I've had here at Glen Academy, I can tell you that. And he's a dominant type of kid with his hand on the ground.
Yeah, dominant is the word. He had one rush that he just absolutely picked that offensive tackle up, who was not a small guy, maybe 270, 280, somewhere in there, and just pretty much Ric Flaired him to the ground. and sacked the quarterback, and it was impressive.
Yeah, it reminded me of Reggie White when Reggie White would do the hunch. He just kind of stuck his foot in the ground and just hunched him right off his feet and threw him. I mean, it's as impressive football play as I've ever seen. It really is.
Yeah, and I believe the most negative thing we got to say about the defense was 17 missed tackles.
Yeah, that's something we worked hard on, and part of that is just guys doing it on Friday night. I mean, they got to get out there and run on Friday night. We got to work on tackling, and you know, we work it every day. We just got to get better with it. I think an emphasis of running through tackles. There's a fine line that you have to do with that stuff, because you know, your full contact drills are limited in practice, and you don't want to bang your guys around. And it doesn't really do any good to just beat up the young guys to go take, let's take the ninth graders or JV guys over there and knock them to the ground. You know, you have to tackle good players. And the only way to get better at it is to go play some games and work on your fundamentals in practice.
You're listening to the Red Terriers Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. All right, Coach, let's turn our attention to this week's opponent. You got the Booker T. Washington Bulldogs, who actually wears blue and white instead of red and white for the Bulldogs. 3-17 last year, played in Region 6-2A, 1-5 in the region last year, got beat last week by Douglas 22-12. Before we talk about Washington, we found out how we hooked up with Fort Dorchester. How did we hook up with Booker T. Washington?
Well, you know, we were looking for games again, and they were, it's something that they were in the same position. They wanted looking for somebody to buy out a home game. So we had the opportunity to buy a home game from them, which means basically we played them here 2 years in a row. So that, you know, that's something that we couldn't pass up that opportunity, and you know, we got them coming down here. We got a young team last year, really talented team. If you watch them, their defensive line is, man, they've got some kids with some get offs. You know, they got some really good skill players. Lost a good Douglas team last week. You know, we're gonna have to come out and play well on our end.
Yeah. Offensively, they kind of want to spread you out to run the ball, but it really doesn't look like they want to run up the middle. They want to hit the perimeters and see what they can do on the perimeter. Is that what y'all what we think?
Yeah, you know, you'll see them at any time they're in like a one back offense, a one back formation. They generally want to push the ball to the perimeter. You know, if they're in a two back offense, they do try to kind of run power and run counter and kind of cram it in there. But even then, their running backs are kind of looking to bounce the football. So we, you know, they're really skilled kids, so we're going to have to do a great job of again fitting on the football, playing football outside in, making them stay in there between the tackles and tackle the football when we get the opportunity to.
You're listening to the Red Terrier Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Offensively, I believe they're led by their quarterback number two, Monty Jones, I guess is the way to pronounce it. A 6'2", 160 sophomore. If their roster I tried to pull online is kind of sketchy. Doesn't really have an overpowering arm, wants to throw the ball short, doesn't seem to want to go down the field.
Well, I think their coaches are, they understand, they want to get like empty, a lot of four wide formations and throw the quick game. They understand that they've got some young kids on the offensive line that are struggling with protection, so they want to roll the pocket. When they throw the ball down the field, they're trying to roll the pocket away from pressure. The other thing they're doing is they're getting the ball out. They throw an uncovered guy a bunch, so, you know, it's tough when they put five guys out there in the pattern to cover all five of them down, you know, without having, you know, basically playing cover zero or straight man and nobody deep. So what they like to do is just find the open guy, the easiest throw, and drive it in there.
Looking at the defensive roster, I've got to mention a man and it looks like he is a man, the 5'11", 260 senior, Radarius Superman Howard. What Superman got on film?
He's a big old thick rascal. When he comes, he puts down a tight end. He's an incredible blocker. Really comes off the football. So we've got to do a good job up front when he lines up in there. We get our pad level down because he's coming off with violent intent when he comes off the football.
So he's earned Superman.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how he got that football name, but I think it might be by knocking people on their backside.
Yeah, it's kind of a no brain, no pain kind of guy.
Yes, sir.
We will be right back to the Glen Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Football season is here, and no matter how bad your grill game is, you can't lose with the Big Green Egg. That dry chicken you normally cook keeps its flavor and comes out juicy and perfect. The Big Green Egg comes with a lifetime warranty, and the only place that has them in Glenn County is Island Ace Hardware, locally owned and operated since 1980. 329 Longview Plaza on St. Simon, 638-3800, and on Facebook at Island Ace Hardware. Island Ace Hardware, the helpful place.
For over 50 years, Shell and Hogan has provided quality, personalized financial guidance to local individuals and businesses in and throughout the area. Our expertise ranges from tax management and accounting services to auditing, financial statement preparation to tax planning. Shell and Hogan on St. Simons at 101 Plantation Chase, 912-638-9031 or online. ShellHogan.com.
There are hurdles, there are handicaps, and there are hardships you will face in life, but you don't have to face them alone. Adrian Browning, attorney at law, will have your back. She has the knowledge and compassion to tackle your issue and make your journey as smooth as possible. Whether divorce, custody, personal injury, or criminal law, including DUI, she's got your back. Come see her at 9 St. Andrews Court beside Mary Ross Waterfront Park, 912-580-3507, and abrowninglaw.com. Schedule your free consultation today, and you be the judge.
Welcome back to the Glen Academy Red Carry Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Bob Black on location at Marshside Grill. This segment is brought to you by Adrian Brown, attorney at law, Ace Hardware, St. Simon's, and by Sheldon Hogan. Coach, anything else we need to talk about with as far as Walton? Any surprise, anything I didn't bring up with the defense? Defensively, they run a three-man front.
They go from three down to four down. You'll see them at 4-4. They'll go 3-5-3. They're kind of a little bit all over the place. In their scrimmage, they were 3-5-3. In the first game, they were 4-2-5. Really talented on the defensive line. That's the first thing I'm going to tell you. They got some kids who can really get off the football and create negative plays. They're going to play well up front on the offensive line.
Yeah, it looks like defensively, from what little film I saw, was long yardage down the distance. They went to the three-man front and tried to bring in like a nickelback or something, took their fourth man out.
Yeah, trying to get something, get pressure on the quarterback. And, they want to bring some exotic blitzes, which is going to do them virtually no good against us because we're going to be pitching the ball on the perimeter. So it'll be interesting to see what they try to do.
Yeah, see what they got with the DBs. All right, Coach, as we know, it takes a lot of people to make a successful program work. We've got several behind-the-scenes people that we will be talking about over the next few weeks. A couple of them we're going to mention tonight. One of them is Miss Gina Churchwell. She is totally into the program, helps you out in so many ways. She makes peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She does photography. She does the programs. How valuable is Gina to the program, Coach?
Well, yeah, when I first got here, somebody started talking about the football program, and we didn't even have a booster club yet. I didn't know Gina, but she just told me, I'll take care of that. So it's been very good. Obviously, she does so much for the program. She cares. She invests a lot in our kids. That's the first thing I'll tell you. She does peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They make 150 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day to help feed the kids. She's knitting or stitching, repairing pants and jerseys. She goes and does photography on the sideline. She does our academic program where she monitors their grades, covers their helps us arrange tutors for those kids, does the ACT and SAT tutoring, helps with all those things, helps us find those guys places to go to college or do something after school. In addition to 1,000 other things, we're laminating stuff for us and running things all for us when we need stuff done. I mean, I can't tell you how many just during the day, when I need something done, Gina's probably the first person I call.
Exactly. Just a total big help. We have several other folks, but another one we're going to bring to the attention tonight is actually was a coach for us last year and does a real good job with the recruiting side of the program. Coach Curtis Cruz. He's not coaching this year. His son, Kane, who was one of our stars from last year, signed a football scholarship, and Curtis wants to watch him play, which you can't really blame him for that. How helpful is he in a recruiting, Coach? The second part of that question is how many kids did we have signed last year that are playing college football today?
Well, I think Curtis, he is tireless in finding kids a place to go off and play college football. Not only just play college football, but go off to go to college or go do something after school. He works really hard at helping us find all these knuckleheads something to do other than just go stand around a street corner or drive around in a pickup truck. So he works his tail off of that. I think last year we ended up signing 10 kids, if I'm not mistaken, to go off and have a chance to go play college football. And we hate to lose Coach Cruz as a football coach. He's a heck of a football coach. He's good because he cares about the kids. And you can see he's got passion for what he does, not just coaching, but investing in these kids. But it's an opportunity for him to go travel and watch Kane play. We always want what's best for our coaches and what's going to make them happy. So that's a great opportunity for him. But he does a tremendous job with that recruiting. He's got some great contacts, gets on the phone, and runs down places for these guys to go off and play college football.
This is the Glen Academy Coaches Show with Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Sports Media Network. Coach, is there anybody else that's just, while we're sitting there, that comes to mind that really helps out with the program in ways that people don't see behind the scenes things? I know we got Andy Jones and Bobby that helps us out with the travel and part of it. I had to give him a shout out. He's here. He's one of the loyal fans. But it takes such a team effort, such a community effort to run a first class program. Fundraising, the whole nine yards. It's just touching that a little bit for us.
Well, you know, I mean, it really is. I mean, you just can't do this. All of this stuff's not free. And I mean, people start talking about, you know, the football program. What people don't understand is how much money we spend on things like feeding the kids. You know, you're talking about playing a football game on a Friday night. If it's at home, you know, to feed the kids is $600-$700 to feed the football team. If it's on the road, it's $1,200-$1,400. And, you know, you multiply that by 10 weeks plus playoffs. That stuff gets expensive. Plus breakfast for them if we've got something going on. If they've got SAT, ACT stuff, we pick up breakfast for them, make sure they do perform well. Just food in and of itself is expensive. And so guys like, you know, John Rose, Jennifer Rose, Christina Pierce, they do a great job with our booster club. I mean, I could go down the list with those guys who do that. You know, Jennifer Anderson, who shows up at our field house to tutor kids, you know, for no other reason than she's invested in the Glenn Academy football program. That's the only reason she does it. Not because she has any kids over there. Josie Taylor helps with our kids. I mean, and there's a ton of teachers that go in and spend time with our kids, and you know, just out of the goodness of their heart to make sure that they're getting the stuff done that they need to do to be successful, you know, in the classroom, so they can go out and win football games on Friday night. So, I mean, so many people in the business community here that you know, if I started naming people, I'd leave somebody off, and then I'd get in trouble for that. But you know, for all those people who make this possible, it's a team effort. It's a community effort. And I think we'll go out on Friday night and play on Friday night reflects our community about the people that show up, support those kids, not just the football kids, the cheerleaders, the band, the kids in the stands. And if you've got pride, pride's not a sometimes thing. If you have pride about being a Glenn Academy Red Terror, being an alum, then you support your team no matter what.
Yeah, it is definitely a total community effort. And if you've ever had a thought about joining the Booster Club, we certainly could use your help. It takes, with the money we get from the county and the money it actually takes, is not even close. So the fundraiser, we had the card blitzes where we were selling the discount cards. We have all types of fundraisers. Buy a Coke at the concession stand during the game. Buy a hot dog. But most of all, come out and see the kids play. They really enjoy coming out there when we got 3,000 or 4,000 people in the stands. It really gets their motor running. So, Coach, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Well, you know, I think we're going to have a great game Friday night. I think people will see a lot of growth in our football team. We've had a great week of practice, so I'm excited to see how we're going to show up and play on Friday. I think our kids are focused. They know what they've got to do, and I think they're willing to go out and take a good step. This is going to be a really good football team when the season's over with. People might as well get on board and keep an eye on us and start supporting us right now.
Yeah, it really has been a good week of practice. The intensity picked up. These kids don't like to lose. We're not going to lose, and they finally realize that. So, not finally, but do realize that. And, you know, we're just going to carry on the Glenn Academy tradition. All right, thanks for joining us for the Glenn Academy Coaches Show at Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Come out to Marshside Grill and join us every Wednesday night at 6:30 for the Rocky Hidalgo Show. I'm Bob Black. Have a good evening, everybody. Good night.